on 98 FM and online. This is Phoenix FM.
Good evening. You're listening to Body Talk here on Phoenix 98 FM with me, Mel Watson. And I hope you're having a very happy and healthy week and not been struck down with a virus or any similar illness or even dissimilar illness. Very important to keep every aspect of ourselves fit and healthy at the moment, as it is in like ordinary times or normal times. So thinking about our diet is always good. Thinking about how we can improve our health with increased sleep and or better sleep, sleep quality and all sorts of things like that is always good. And exercise, obviously, exercise has been proving to be a bit of a challenge for many people. And obviously, I think now the restrictions are starting to ease a little bit so we can start to get out in the open a little more and walk if nothing else, or run. Taking up running is obviously a good option. I did an article on that a few weeks ago talking about running and how good it is for you. And I think lots of people have managed to find something good in running or cycling even. Many people have taken up cycling as well. All very, very good for your overall health. But if you are housebound and you do still want to exercise, then that's also a bit of an issue, isn't it? So we'll be thinking about various different forms of exercise this evening and what you can do to help yourself remain fit, active and healthy in these challenging times, and maybe also continuing that into more normal times as well. But first of all, I start off with our usual news roundup. First of all, there's many of us choosing to have gluten-free options these days, isn't it? And the supermarket shelves are certainly full of gluten-free options, and quite rightly too. But apparently, many takeaways, many restaurants serving gluten-free food may not be as gluten-free as you think. Apparently, around a third of meals listed as being gluten-free contain traces of the protein, which is found in wheat and other grains. Now, pasta and pizzas are the foods most likely to contain some traces of gluten, which can cause a life-threatening reaction in the 1% of people who have celiac disease, and unpleasant side effects in those who are gluten intolerant, which is estimated to be around half the adult population. Around half the gluten-free pasta dishes and pizzas actually contained gluten, researchers from Columbia University discovered when 800 of their investigators carried out spot checks on 5,600 gluten-free options in restaurants across the US. So don't know how that would relate over here, but certainly it's something to watch out for. Around 27% of breakfast meals contain traces of gluten, and this rose to 34% of the meals served for dinner. Half the pasta dishes and pizzas contain gluten at a concentration of at least 20 parts per million, considered the cut-off point for gluten-free claims. The major problem was cross-contamination in the kitchen from food containing gluten when meals are prepared. The fact that gluten was so often found in pizza suggests that sharing an oven with gluten-containing pizza is a prime setting for cross-contamination. Gluten-free pasta can be contaminated if prepared in a pot of water that was used to prepare gluten-containing pasta. So that's something to watch out for, isn't it? If you're in a restaurant, just make sure that there's no cross-contamination. And a ketogenic diet, which is one that's high in fats and low in carbs, could help to keep you mentally sharp into old age. It reduces your chances of cognitive decline, dementia and Alzheimer's, researchers suggest. The diet seems to improve neurovascular function, which means it improves blood flow to the brain. And this is all controlled by the bacteria in the gut, or the microbiome. Eating the diet for just 16 weeks seems to change the biological markers that are linked to cognition. It dramatically increases the blood flow to the brain, improves the balance of good bacteria in the gut, lowers blood glucose levels and body weight, and helps clear amyloid beta from the brain, which is a hallmark of Alzheimer's. The latest findings, reviewed by a team from the University of Kentucky, has thus far been carried out on laboratory mice, but the researchers say it gives some positive indicators of what could happen in people too. Earlier researchers found that the ketogenic diet could help combat a range of other health problems, such as epilepsy, Parkinson's, and autism. And also long-term gum disease could be a trigger for Alzheimer's. New research suggests the bacteria from poor teeth and gums helps form the plaques in the brain that are associated with Alzheimer's. It's already known that gum disease, also known as periodontal disease, can cause cognitive problems. But researchers at the University of Illinois at Chicago have discovered that it could be causing Alzheimer's too. Periodontal bacteria help form the senile plaques that are associated with Alzheimer's and which appear to have something to do with its distressing symptoms. The effects of the bacteria from bleeding gums and poor teeth almost exactly mirror the brain inflammation seen in Alzheimer's patients, the researchers say. And the DNA from the bacteria was found in the brain tissue of mice that were exposed to it orally, demonstrating that bacteria from the mouth can make their way to the brain. And eating a diet rich in omega-3 fats is linked to higher levels of neurotransmitters in the brain. Women with breast cancer should include fish oils in their daily diet. These omega-3 fats stop the cancer spreading and growing, new research has discovered. They also reduce the chances of getting the cancer in the first place. And fish oils could slash the size that tumours grow by half and also stop them from spreading. And as a result, women live longer. The oils seem to have a protective effect against breast cancer. That's according to researchers from the University of Nebraska. They think the oils boost the immune system's response to the cancer, which suggests they could be just as effective with other cancers as well, and have an anti-inflammatory effect. And specifically, fish oils seem to encourage the growth of T cells, which are the white blood cells that strengthen the immune system, and especially its cancer-fighting qualities. In tests on laboratory mice, those fed a diet high in omega-3 had a higher T cell count and less inflammation than others that were fed a diet rich in omega-6, the polyunsaturated fats that can cause inflammation in the body. Tumours also took longer to develop in the omega-3 group, and sometimes the cancers never appeared at all, suggesting the oils have a protective effect. And after 35 days, they were only half the size of tumours in the omega-6 group. So that's got some good news. Well, that's some good news for you, isn't it? So fish oil is very good for you. And Viagra may help your love life, but it isn't so good for your eyesight. Taking too much of the drug could permanently damage the retina and affect the way you see colours. The drug is well known to cause vision problems, but they seem to be temporary and usually self-correct within 24 hours. But researchers at Mount Sinai Eye Hospital have discovered that the damage can be permanent in people who take the drug for a long period or who overdose. Although all of us need to be able to see colours, the drug's side effects can be a bigger problem for people who rely on colour recognition in their work. And they need to be especially careful before they start taking Viagra, the researchers say. And they base their advice on the case study of a 31-year-old man who bought Viagra on the internet and took far more than the recommended 50 milligram dose. He complained of seeing a red overlay that affected both eyes very soon after taking the drug, and the problem persisted for several days. He was eventually diagnosed with persistent retinal toxicity, and he was still experiencing red-tinted vision problems a year later. The researchers discovered he had suffered microscopic injuries to the cones of his retina, which are responsible for colour vision. So do be careful if you're taking that particular drug. And people who have a moderate chance of heart attack or stroke are advised to start taking an aspirin a day, but it doesn't reduce the risk. And there's a greater chance of serious gastrointestinal bleeding, new research has discovered. People taking aspirin were just as likely to suffer their first heart attack or stroke as others with a similar risk profile who were not on the medication. But the drug did increase the rate of gastrointestinal bleeding, research has discovered. Although aspirin has a proven protective effect for people who've already suffered a heart attack or stroke, the same can't be said for those at moderate risk of their first heart attack, such as people who smoke or have raised cholesterol levels or blood pressure. Researchers from the Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston recruited about 12,500 men and women with an average age of 64 who had a 30% risk of suffering their first heart attack in the next 10 years. And over the following 5 years, half were given aspirin every day and the rest instead took a placebo pill. But there was hardly any difference in the number of heart attacks experienced by both groups, with 269 heart attacks or strokes in the aspirin group and 281 attacks among those given the placebo. but there were 61 cases of gastrointestinal bleeding in the aspirin group and only 29 in the placebo group. So I think the message there is just to be careful, whatever drugs you may be taking, just watch out for the side effects. And as we know, there are side effects to most of these things. You know, taking something a little bit more natural is obviously the way forward. It may not be as effective, though. So it's finding what's right for you, isn't it? It's finding what actually works. Okay, we're going to have a little break now, and after the break I shall be back talking to you about exercise and what we can do if we are stuck at home. If running and cycling are not options, then maybe we could consider doing some other kinds of forms of exercise at home. So stay tuned for more after this.
Community Radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Body Talk here on Phoenix 98 FM with me, Mel Watson. And today we're talking exercise and what you can do to help yourself stay a little bit fitter and healthier indoors. It's I mean, it's very difficult if you haven't got an outside space or you're not able to access an outside space, particularly if you are still self-isolating. So, and there's certainly no sign of exercise classes or gyms opening up in the near future. So it's important that we do try and exercise as much as possible to keep our bodies in tip-top condition. And we'll start off by thinking about yoga. Obviously, that's my favourite subject, as I teach yoga on a regular basis. And it can be really challenging doing any practice at home on your own. And it's finding the motivation to do it as well. So something simple is probably the best idea, something easy to do and something that makes you feel good when you've done it as well. Now, there are many, many online things at the moment, lots of webinars, lots of teachers offering free classes, lots of people doing Zoom classes as well, if you're not able to get to your regular classes. So I would recommend that you do check out, if you're used to going to a regular class, your teacher may still be running an online class, but may not be able to contact you for whatever reason. So do investigate that if you can. But there are many, many online classes available. Everything from kind of running and athletics to something more soothing and relaxing like meditation or relaxation. So do have a look at what's out there. You will find lots of hints and things to keep you going, and certainly something that's suitable for you, because obviously not all exercises are going to be suitable for all of us. It's quite difficult, isn't it, trying to find the one that you like. But if you're already involved in exercise, then try looking up something that you've already got. And obviously Joe Wicks at the moment is kind of like the physical health guru, isn't he? He's got so many online classes for you know, the really serious athlete, down to, I think he's done one for the over 60s, over 70s or something like that as well, that's online. So plenty of information out there, but I'll go over a few practices with you this evening, certainly for yoga anyway. Any exercise practice at home is more vital than ever. It means that many people have experienced the challenge of having to practice without a schedule, without a teacher, without fellow students for motivation as well. And this in the face of loads of distractions from remote working, roommates, family, the state of the world, everything. It's very, very difficult to keep our minds on track, isn't it? Let alone our bodies. So maintaining a dedicated practice in the face of uncertainty isn't easy, but there are solutions, there are things that you can do. But you know, try and break your home exercise into small, manageable chunks that you can more readily integrate into your day, which require smaller blocks of uninterrupted time. And the key is to identify what you most love about and miss from your own practice, whether it's just sitting and being mindful, whether it's working with the breath, whether it's body awareness, inspiration, mobility, strength, or circulation. And then just get, if you can, a little bit creative about accessing those benefits in short stints rather than one single long class. So a few little suggestions. Let's go with those. So even before you get out of bed in the morning, you can do some simple stretches. Rather than reaching for a coffee, just boost your energy and motivation from within. And in just a couple of minutes, you can warm your muscles, lubricate your joints, and just gently stir energy and build motivation for the day. So one really simple stretch is just to stretch out through the arms. So just opening the arms out to the sides and stretching all the way out into the fingertips, really opening out through the chest, out through the shoulders. Shoulders tend to get very tense, don't they, through the day, very tight. And another simple movement that you can do just whilst lying in bed is just to lift your shoulders up towards your ears and squeeze them really, really tightly. And as soon as you've held that for 1 or 2 seconds, then just let them drop away from you. And that really does help to release the shoulders. And that's something that you can do any time of the day, not just in bed first thing in the morning, but it's certainly a good livener to get some blood flow going into those shoulders, particularly if you've been lying in an awkward position in bed as well. And if you stay lying on your back and then just bend your knees and set your feet quite wide apart on your bed and just slowly move your knees from side to side several times. And this will mobilize your hips and lower back and allowing you to deepen your breath as well if you work with your breath. So breathe out as the knees lower over to the sides and breathe in as they come back to the center. And do this several times until you feel that mobility coming into the thighs, into the hips. You could also try bringing the knees and feet together and doing that same movement, just very slowly moving the knees across from one side to the other in a very slow rhythmic movement. And this really does help to work into the lower back and also the middle of the back now, working with this movement with the knees and the feet together. And if you're feeling a little bit more energetic, then you could just bring the knees into the chest. So lifting the feet from the bed and then very gently working the knees again from side to side, keeping the knees coming up into the shoulders, into the armpits. And again, this starts to mobilize the top of the spine, easing out through the top of the spine. And these are very, very gentle movements. Now, yes, they can be done first thing in the morning while you're still in bed, but these movements can also be done during the day on the mat, on the floor, or wherever it is that you're able to practice. It's completely supported as you're lying down against the ground, and it's very, very gentle movements as well. And it can be quite rhythmic and quite soothing as well, quite relaxing. And then if you bring your knees back to the center and just slide the legs down your bed, creating enough space to reach your arms overhead. So you need to move your body down the bed a little bit and interlace your fingers and lift your arms up and overhead and stretch the heels of your palms towards your bed head, opening your side, body, shoulders and hands. So if you were to do this standing, that would have a really good effect too. But this is lovely first thing in the morning. Gives you a really, really nice stretch as you wake up. But again, you can do this throughout the day. And I find that this is a nice one to do if you're doing a lot of work on the computer, if you're doing work at your desk, or if you're doing anything, if you're not working, if you're just binging on Netflix and sitting at home in the same position all day. It's a really nice stretch to do to release through the shoulders. So you could practice that one a few times and then draw your right knee towards your chest, clasp your hands over your shin and point and flex your right toes 3 or 4 times. Then circle your right ankle clockwise and then counterclockwise to warm your foot and ankle joints. So it's very, very gentle movements again, just to ease through first thing in the morning. And then you could lift your head and shoulders to curl your nose towards your knee, which will start to wake up your abdominal muscles, creating healthy compression on your digestive organs as well. And then returning your right foot to the bed and switch sides. So swap the grip of your hands as well to bring your opposite index finger on top before mobilizing your left foot and left ankle. So again, we have that nice ankle rotation clockwise and anti-clockwise. And then you can finish this little sequence by just drawing your nose towards your knee. So squeezing the thigh as close as you can towards you and bringing your head up towards your knee. And then you could finish by bringing both arms overhead to make space for a huge breath in and then squeeze both knees into your chest and draw your head up once again. So you're looking at the space in between your knees and just hold this for a few breaths and just see how this feels as you really stretch your spine and you're also massaging all of your internal organs at this point as well. And hopefully that will give you a little bit of a nice stretch before you get out of bed. But as I've said, those little stretches can also be done at any time during the day, and equally as beneficial to do them on the floor on your yoga mat if you have one, and that will be amazing for you as well if you were to continue to do that. So there is lots of advice online about how you can use yoga tools and techniques to support your physical and mental health, and perhaps even boost immunity. And this could be the perfect time to establish some healthy habits. Introducing new behaviours, though, may be challenging when you may already feel overwhelmed by a new routine. So take it easy on yourself by adding just one or two new habits to existing ones. Okay, we'll have a little break now, and after the break, coming back with some more exercise tips. Stay tuned.
Radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Body Talk here on Phoenix 98 FM with me, Mel Watson. And yes, we're talking exercise, and specifically some of those favoured yoga movements that I found work very well for me and also for my students. I've worked well for them over the years. So just going through the movements quite slowly for you. So if you do want to join in as we're doing this, as I'm going through it, then that's absolutely fine. But also, you know, just bear in mind that these are movements that you could make a note of and perhaps go through at some point later in the day. you know, it's, I mean, one existing habit that we've got. So we're talking about developing new habits with exercise, but one existing habit that is experiencing renewed but well-deserved popularity as well is hand washing. So each of us has a 20-second opportunity to hit the reset button on our nervous system multiple times in a day. So even this brief time out from work, family activities and online scrolling can be incredibly powerful if we utilize it mindfully. So each time you wash your hands, just be quiet. Enjoy the physical sensation of soap and water massaging your hands and tune in to your breathing. Even 2 to 3 slow, deep, deliberate breaths is enough to settle and soothe your nervous system, especially if you spend an extra moment lingering on the exhale. The exhale is very important. The exhale is the breath of release, of letting go, and it just makes us feel as though we're just a little bit more relaxed. And another option is to work on your balance and stability during the couple of minutes of standing time you already dedicate each morning and evening to brushing your teeth. Try brushing the teeth on the left side of your mouth while you stand on your left foot for tree pose. And tree pose, if you can, if you're standing on your left foot, then just bringing the right foot either to rest on top of the left foot or bringing the right foot onto the left knee joint and just holding that balance with the right knee coming gently out to the side. And then swapping to the right side, so brushing your teeth on your right side now, moving the weight onto the right foot, lifting the left foot, and then bringing that left foot onto the top of the right foot, or just resting or nestling nicely on that right knee joint, and then brushing your teeth as you do that. If you can't manage to lift the left foot too high, then just try a balance on one foot and maybe leaning into the sink, into the edge of the bath, into a countertop. I don't know what your bathroom is shaped like, but just try that one leg balance while you're brushing your teeth with support if need be. And you might be surprised by the added challenge of maintaining your balance through the distraction of sound inside your head as well. And then we move on to something maybe of a bit longer duration. And one of the core benefits of a longer duration practice is the potential to boost energy, body temperature, muscle strength, heart rate, and circulation. Fortunately, you can achieve the same physiological effects more quickly by increasing the pace, intensity, or regularity of your movement. Mini practices can be surprisingly effective when sprinkled throughout your day. For example, while waiting for the kettle to boil or the coffee to brew or whatever, or as a reward for finishing a project, or during a TV commercial break even. Don't just simply fast forward, but maybe do a little bit of exercise during those times. And boost your motivation by setting a timer or a target number of repetitions. And you could even challenge family members or roommates to join you. So a sun salutation is a very popular movement with yoga, and it gives your body an all-round workout. So from standing, breathing in, sweep your arms overhead. And as you exhale, fold forward, bringing your hands to the floor. And as you bring your hands to the floor, you probably need to bend your knees as you come into this forward bend. If you don't, then you've got very good hamstrings and they're very stretchy. And then you can step back with both feet into a low plank pose, or as low as you can. So just making sure that you're nicely supported on your hands and on your feet. And then if you let the hips drop down, you can lift up to lift the body up into an upward facing dog or cobra if you would like to bring the hips down against the ground. So just bearing in mind, I can't see you with these movements. So just make sure that you're taking care and that the movements are achievable for you. And then lift your hips up and come back down to downward facing dog. So you're balancing on your hands and your feet. And then bend your knees and step or jump forward to a standing forward bend. And then breathing in with bent knees, just lift all the way up into a mountain pose or standing tall, and you're ready to begin that movement all over again. Now, this is a very simple sun salutation. It will be a lot more technical if it was in class, and maybe you can find some more advice or some details on sun salutation online, so you've actually got something to look at as you're working your way through the poses. And there are lots of other movements that you can do as well, but that's a very simple all-round pose really to get the circulation moving and to build strength into the body. Just holding plank pose, just seeing how many seconds you can hold that for. So you're balancing on your toes and on your hands with your body stretched out and the hips nicely lifted. Just seeing how long you can remain in plank is quite a good challenge, and it may be a challenge that other family members, as well as I said, could join in with as well. And then, of course, there's just a basic kind of jumping jack type movement as well, which would be equally as good to get the circulation going. So providing you're not in a flat and disturbing people underneath you, or in a room where you've got people working underneath you, you could just try some simple jumping jacks as well, which are really good to get the circulation going. So standing with feet together, arms by your sides, and then jumping, taking the feet out to the sides, spreading the arms out, and then jumping once again to bring the feet back together and the arms back down by the sides. So very simple movement again. Depending on your mobility, it may be that you need to step rather than jump, and it may be that you need to move perhaps a little bit more slowly. But certainly, again, a very good movement to do while you're at home. And yes, but if you're in plank, set a timer or count your breaths to use as a baseline for next time, and aim to increase your hold time by one breath each time, or 5 to 8 seconds each time. That will be really good. Now, obviously, we take simple pleasure. We certainly have been taking simple pleasures for granted when we don't pause to appreciate them. So maybe a shower or bath is the perfect time to invest in gratitude meditation. The simple pleasure that prompts gratitude may be mowing the lawn, arranging flowers, preparing a meal with loving care, reading to your children, or lighting a candle at night. Choose something simple that you do regularly and use it as a means of cultivating appreciation. And you can start by feeling thankful for the warm water, your capable hands, or the comfort of your home and family. But as you build the habit, you may be surprised to observe that no matter how uncertain the future, there's much to take comfort from right now. Your heart beating, your lungs breathing, safe shelter around you, the care of people in your life, and the view from your window maybe, the sound of birds outside, or the smile from a neighbour. The more you look, the more you may see that all you have to be grateful for. So it's nice to spend a few moments after you've exercised to just be grateful for everything that there is in your life and all the positives that you have in your life. And in the evening, just a couple of minutes of simple yoga poses could be enough to prepare your mind and body to slip into sleep. And make sure you put phones and other devices out of sight. Make your bedroom dark and quiet, and just settle into your favorite restorative yoga pose. And we're going to have a little break soon, and I'll talk about restorative poses a little bit more. But you could lie on your bed with your legs up the wall, curl into child's pose, or roll into a twist with a pillow between your knees. Close or cover your eyes, or soften your gaze, becoming aware of the ebb and flow of your breath, slowing and softening as you prepare for a sound night's sleep. Now, remember, challenging times call for creative solutions, and while building a home practice is never easy, if you're struggling to squeeze a studio style practice into the realities of remote work and homeschooling, you probably need to think outside of the box a little bit. So expecting to find an uninterrupted hour or more could leave you without any practice at all. So try shifting your perspective instead to figuring out when and where you can harness free moments within your day to sprinkle in some of these practices that I've just shared with you, or think up some movements of your own. So, yeah, some good tips there. Right. Okay, we're going to have a little break now. And after the break, I shall be back with some more restorative poses. Stay tuned for more after this. Tick tock, 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 tick tock. I'm not disconnected, I'm not unaware. I'm in one place at one time, and neither here nor there. I'm hooked to the main street, into the world, and into my surroundings, but out on a limb. I'm thinking in a straight line, I'm thinking at this bottom, and my heart is beating oh so fast, I feel it, I was crushing on my heart.
Community Radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Body Talk here on Phoenix 98 FM with me, Mel Watson. And we're talking exercise today, aren't we? We're trying to keep the show reasonably virus-free in these difficult times and thinking about what we can do at home to keep ourselves fit and healthy. Now, inversions. I'm going to talk a little bit about inversions. Now, most people associate inversions with acrobatics of handstands, shoulder stands, headstands, etc. But while these more dynamic postures have their benefits, just reversing our usual relationship with gravity so that we don't have to hold up our body weight can offer a soothing and releasing mind-body effect. Placing the hips above the head aids the lymphatic flow that's so important for immune function and detoxification. And this fluid system runs throughout the whole body alongside the bloodstream. But unlike blood circulation, the lymph system doesn't have a pump like the heart. Instead, it retires entirely on motor activity in order to flow. So elevating the legs allows fluid that can easily pool into the legs to travel back up the body via gravity, supporting circulation and heart health along the way. Positions where we are fully supported are often called restorative postures within yoga. They don't just offer renewal and recovery. A restorative is a specific practice where props can be used to allow full rest. And many restorative positions are not inverted, but those that are offer even more calming for the heart and for the nervous system. Now, these practices reduce the stress hormone cortisol, which speeds up the heart rate during moments of fight or flight. They promote a sense of well-being and equanimity and invite the slow, deep breathing that brings down high blood pressure and regulates heartbeat. These are mindful practices where we can focus on the sensory experience of the present moment without expectation or imposition. We're not looking to feel a stretch, but simply to practice attention on the present moment without judging whether we like or dislike it or attaching ourselves to inner chatter. Research has shown that mindful practices may enhance parasympathetic influences on the heart rate, allowing us to come to calmer states and increasing our ability to adapt to stressful situations. The reclining and inverted postures are also known to support the baroreflex, which is the body's mechanism for keeping blood pressure stable, which is required for self-soothing. Standing upright inhibits this by exciting the system and raising the blood pressure. So supported inversions encourage healthy circulation because the heart is below the hips and sometimes also below the legs, where less pumping is needed to bring blood up from the lower body, as gravity allows this effect without effort. Inversions also allow organs to drop and shift the position of the ligaments holding them in place. This creates movement in and around the organs and their connective tissues. When organs pull, the resulting subtle sensations draw us into our inner world, creating introspection. Now, new research has suggested that anxiety, depression, and irritable bowel syndrome are interoceptive disorders, a signal processing problem where interoception is increased and can seem noisy and overwhelming. These states are also correlated with cardiovascular tissues, and this processing is amplified by a racing mind, which can so often accompany stress states where blood pressure and heart rate are elevated. And this phenomenon is more obvious in anxiety and IBS, but there is also a stress component to depressive states in which rumination and difficulty relaxing are very common. Now, in such states, it's not the interoceptive signalling itself that's the issue, but rather the belief states of you as an individual which colour the information received. The brain can panic when it can't clearly sense the internal state of the body, leaving the person feeling unsafe and setting off chronic stress associated with heart disease. Now, inversions can encourage the refinement of the interoceptive system, helping us develop the embodied awareness that slows down the heart rate. And when we also add in the mindful component of such poses, there is great scope to use them for soothing and reducing the negative effects of stress. Although they're perfect for coming down from anxiety or agitation, restorative positions are more challenging than stronger physical practices, as they ask us to stay present without the distraction of things to do or strong bodily sensations. Focusing on the present moment's experience of the breath can help to gather our attention to a sense of our body in the here and now. This helps us feel safety, a state that slows down the heart rate, and using the simple guide of observing the inhale up the spine and exhale down the spine can always bring us back from mind chatter. So poses, thinking about poses which are inversions, I mean simply placing the legs up the wall. Simply lying with the legs supported up the wall is highly soothing. But if you add in the element of raised hips as well, raising the hips above the heart, which you can do with a bolster or folded blankets underneath the hips, it helps in two aspects that support cardiovascular health and other body symptoms. There is a back bend effect to support lower natural breath patterns, where the chest can fully open and the diaphragm, which can get collapsed with hunching or stress, can move freely. And when space is created at the base of the skull, it soothes the body via the vagus nerve, which begins there and signals that the entire mind and body can relax. So you, if you get some bolster or some folded blankets and place them against a wall, leaving about a 2 or 3 inch gap for your tailbone, just bring your right hip up onto the right side of the bolster and then swing your legs up. And just position the tailbone just over the edge of the bolster or blankets. And if you have tight hamstrings, just move the bolster further from the wall and just settle into the weight of the legs with the arms positioned where the shoulders can most easily drop and rest. And here you can also take the legs wide, which helps relieve stress on the pelvic floor, which can stay stuck in protective contraction up to the spine and the mouth. The pelvic floor, tongue, palate and upper throat can all stay contracted, holding us in stress patterns. So widening and inverting the pelvic floor gives us permission for this whole channel to release. And then on completion, just gently draw the knees into the chest, and that draws the tailbone under to create gentle length in the lower back, and also brings us into the safety of the fetal position. And then move into a forward bend. So just gently bring the legs out and overhead. Gives us so we can gauge the leg extension and open out through the back as well. Opening the hamstrings also helps us to soothe the vagus nerve, and stress often comes with tightening as well. And then just gently come back through the sequence before rolling onto your side and lying for a while in a fetal position supported by the ground. So always give your body time to recover. And then another pose that's very good as well is a supported bridge pose. It's a simple way of letting gravity help the heart rate slow down from the knees to the head. So from lying with the knees bent, walk the feet in towards your bottom. Raise the heels enough to lift the pelvis and slide a bolster or firm cushion or blankets underneath as support. Bring the heels back down slowly and find the best position for your feet where you feel grounded. Placing the all four corners of the feet on the ground, and that allows release through the lower back, the belly and inner thighs. And spend some moments finding the most comfortable arm, shoulder and neck position to be able to soften the space between the back teeth and around the eyes, from where safety and calm are signaled from the whole body. So it's another very soothing and relaxing position, opening out the body, opening out those muscles, but without too much intensity. And then using chairs is always very good. If you find yourself seated on a chair for much of the day, this is one of the simplest inversions you can do at any time. If you feel stressed or overwhelmed while you're sitting at your desk, sit to the front seat of your chair with your feet wide apart and drop your body between your thighs to a point that feels comfortable and safe. You may need to place your hands on something to raise the height that that your hands want to rest at. Or start with your elbows resting on your thighs if that feels more comfortable. But certainly that's a very, very good inversion and a very good forward bend as well. And you could also try doing a shoulder stand with the chair as well. So this is probably one of the most active postures, but it's still very soothing to the heart and a great alternative to a shoulder stand in yoga. The angle on the neck is less intense and we're not supporting the whole weight of the body. The head and neck positioning soften the muscles around the neck and upper back, which tend to become very stressed, where we breathe up into the chest and shoulders rather than more restfully into the belly and diaphragm. So start with your bottom on the ground, close enough to the chair to hold onto its front legs. Bring the heels onto the very front of the seat and, keeping them about hip width apart, lift up the pelvis as you breathe in and open out through the chest. Soften your face and jaw, opening your heart center with a soft breath, and then very gently roll down to rest and then coming up again if you want. So you can repeat that for a couple of times. And then if you roll down to rest with your calves on the chair seat when your body tells you it's time, it may feel right to come up and down a few times, or you might just want to do that once and then rest. But again, you need to be the judge of your body and what your body's saying to you. So There we are. Some simple movements, some simple exercises that we can do at home. It's not a whole hour's workout or anything like that, but it's just gentle movements that we can include at different moments during our day that will help us to feel that we are actually getting our body opened out and we are actually moving ourselves a little. And again, if you do want some more instruction or further instruction, then please do look online. There are lots of online classes available, and your regular teachers may well be offering those online classes. Okay, so hopefully you found this exercise session very informative, helpful for you to keep fit and healthy in this time during isolation. And actually, at any time, to be perfectly honest, we all need to be doing a little bit more exercise at home. So until this time next week, take care of your body and take care of yourself. From the